Thank you, Madeline, Brother Wren. Appreciate that offertory. Tonight we have a guest speaker. Brother Will Berry is our guest speaker, and we're glad to have him with us. He's a third-year student at Heartland Bible College, Baptist Bible College, and plans to go on and do some postgraduate work and then be a church planter. And he's a very close friend of Megan McGuire's. How close? I don't know. You'll have to ask them, all right? But very close friends. And he's spoken of very highly by Dr. Gaddis there at the church and the school, and we appreciate it, and we're glad that he's here tonight. So get your Bibles ready, and he's going to come and preach for us.
All right, if you'd stand with me and turn to Acts chapter 4, the gospel or the book of Acts chapter 4. Y'all stand with me, and just while you're flipping there, I just want to say just thank you, Pastor, just for the opportunity to preach, and I don't take it lightly at all, so I'm very thankful for it. And he told me to preach till about 8:30, so I don't know if that's... just kidding. So are you there with me in Acts chapter 4? I mean, the first 22 verses. Acts chapter 4. And the Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that the rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, By what power or by what name have ye done this? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him that this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them, because of the people, for all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was shewed. If you'd pray with me. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father God, I just thank you, Lord, just for today and just all the blessings that you give to us, God. You're just so good to us, and God, just the amazing things that you've done in all of our lives, and Lord, you're just so good. And God, I just pray that this whole service, and I just thank you for the kids, what they did, and just praising your name, God. And I just pray that this whole service would just glorify you and just lift praises to your name, God. And it's the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen. All right, you all may be seated. Have you all ever seen anything, like look back in your life and just think, have you seen anything that was just so awesome you had to tell somebody about it? And maybe you didn't think that like exactly like, I should go tell somebody about this, but you just saw something really awesome or something really exciting happen and you just went and told people about it. And I remember at one point when I was younger, about 8, my family went on a family vacation to San Diego. And just to preface this story, I come from Tucson, Arizona, where we have rivers that don't have water in them. So seeing an ocean was pretty exciting to begin with. But then we went to the ocean, me and my dad, about 6 a.m., and we saw some dolphins. I guess like the term would be a pod of dolphins playing in the ocean. And I remember I just ran back to the hotel to get my mom, because I just thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I mean, I hadn't even seen water, and I'm seeing dolphins. So I just thought it was the coolest thing I'd ever seen. I had to go tell somebody, because something awesome happened, and we just go tell people. And isn't that just kind of a human trait, that we want to tell people awesome things that we see or that we hear? And I think that's just a basic trait of humans, that when we see something awesome, that we just naturally will go find somebody just to tell them about it. But I think when we look in the disciples' lives in the Gospels and here in Acts, we see that they saw a bunch of awesome things themselves. And so just if we just kind of look for some context, just some awesome things that they saw in the Gospels. Just think about it. Think about when they're on the Sea of Galilee there and the storm is raging. And these are fishermen. They've been on the sea a million times. I mean, they're used to the sea. They're used to storms. But they're convinced that they're going to die. That's how bad the storm is. And lightning's crashing and waves are slamming into the ship. And everything's just crazy. It's a crazy storm. And then to see Jesus come out just as calm as can be and just say, peace. And just everything dead stops. All the waves stop. The lightning stops crashing. Everything stops. I mean, just how amazing that would be. Or the feeding of the 5,000, just how, you know, they would maybe ask one of the disciples, you know, how are we going to feed these 5,000 people? You know, if you'd asked me, I would have said the same thing they did. I don't know, we don't have any food, I don't know how we're going to do this. And so Jesus says, well, just take this small lunch and just start feeding them. And then just to see 5,000 people fed from that, I mean, how awesome would that be? How amazing and incredible. I mean, to think of the healing miracles, how the disciples saw that the blind men could see and deaf could hear and the dead would rise and walk again and lame men would walk and just all the awesome miracles and incredible things that they saw. How they saw Jesus walk on water, they saw Lazarus come out alive, they saw Jesus just stump the Pharisees time and time again. And just to sit at the feet of Jesus and to listen to his teaching for 3 years. I mean, just how incredible all the things that they saw were. But it just seems like in the Gospels that the disciples really didn't get it. You know what I mean? Like they just didn't get exactly what was going on. We see them fighting over who's the best, and we see Peter denying Christ, and we see him fleeing and running away when he dies. We see him out fishing and just deciding to forget everything. It just seems like they didn't get it. I mean, all these awesome things were happening in the Gospels, and they just didn't get exactly the severity of it or the realness of it or whatever it was, but it just didn't seem like it clicked in their minds. But then we get over to Acts, and we see a completely different group of disciples, right? I mean, in the Gospels, when we see them denying Christ or running away from him, in Acts, we see them boldly preaching in front of thousands of people. We see them dying as martyrs for Christ. We just see completely different people. And I wonder, you know, we don't know exactly what happened between the two. I mean, we know that Jesus confronted Peter and asked him, you know, three times, "Lovest thou me?" And if you look at Acts chapter 1 with me, just there, after Christ rise again, verse number 3, it says, "To whom," it's talking about Jesus, "to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." And maybe it was just the fact that they realized that Christ is risen from the dead and now he's giving them these commands and he's confronting them about this. And apparently it finally clicks and they finally understand exactly really what's going on, if that makes sense. They finally get it. And if you look with me in verse number 8 there, it says, "But ye shall receive power." This is like Jesus' final command before he ascends to heaven. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He gives them this one final command before he ascends, to just go and be witnesses, to tell everyone. They're in Jerusalem and in Samaria and unto all parts of the earth, everywhere. To go everywhere and to be witnesses unto all people. That's the final command. And then in chapter 2, we see the church kind of getting started. They elect a new disciple, and the church is getting started. And we see the miracle of tongues. And the disciples are speaking in tongues, and they're speaking in all these different languages. And again, just an awesome thing. And this crowd gathers. I mean, again, just the same concept, just that so this amazing thing is happening. So this crowd gathers, and there's apparently thousands of people there, and they start mocking. And we see Peter, it's kind of like half Peter's character and half not Peter's character, because they're mocking the disciples, and you'd expect Peter to just stand up and instantly say something to rebuke them. But unlike the normal Peter, Peter of Acts gets up and he preaches, and he preaches to them about Christ. And if you look with me there in verse number 21, Peter's preaching to them, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." So he just preaches at him. And again, this is a kind of an angry crowd, and he's saying, you're the ones that crucified him. And he's just preaching hard at him. If you look with me there in verse number 37, just the crowd's response, it says, "Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And just an awesome thing that Peter could preach to these thousands of people, and 3,000 people would be added to the church. But just that Peter was ready to preach unto them, and he just boldly got up and preached in front of these thousands of people. And then if you look at Acts chapter 3 with me, just we see the story of the lame man being healed, the man there that was just, he was lame for 40 years, as we saw in chapter 4. And just as he would sit there at the temple for years after years, and then Peter and John come, and again, if you just kind of get the picture in your mind, just this man, he's 40 years old, and he's been lame his entire life. So you just imagine, he's been at this temple every day for however many years, 35 years or 40 years or however long it is, and it'd be like he's almost just a part of the temple. You know, the people that go to the temple every day, it'd be like he'd just become a part of a fixture of the temple. Like, he almost wouldn't even recognize that he was actually, like, a person, if I could say it that way. Just that they're so used to seeing him there. But Peter and John come up to him. They walk up to him, and they say, "Look on us." I can only imagine he's thinking, "Wow, I'm going to get something really good out of these guys. You know, they're actually taking the time to notice me." And then he says, "Silver and gold have I none." And, you know, the lame man's like, "Man..." But anyway, then he says, "In the name, but what I have, I give to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And just picturing that is so cool. I think of Popeye, you know, just his legs, how they'd be, for 40 years, they'd be withered, and he's never used them, so they don't have any muscle. They're probably just, you know, skin and bones. But they receive strength, and he gets up, and he realizes that he can walk, and then he starts running and jumping and praising God and leaping and twirling and just praising the Lord, just making a big scene out of it. And everybody realizes this is the guy that's been there for 40 years, just sitting there lame in front of the temple. So this whole a crowd, again, just gathers. Look with me, verse number 11. It says, "And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering." I mean, it just, the people are just amazed by this. This man has been healed. So they come, and again, Peter, he sees a crowd gathered. He sees a crowd gathering. They're greatly wondering what's going on. So Peter, he just preaches to him. In verse number 12 there with me, it says, "And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up, and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses." Then verse number 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." And again, Peter just sees this crowd gathering, and again, he's just more than ready and willing to just preach to them, and just to preach to them Christ, and that they're the ones that denied the Holy One and the Just. They're the ones that crucified him, but they can be saved by faith in Jesus. And then verse number 4 of chapter 4, we saw that the number of the men was about 5,000, because the many that heard and believed. So, I mean, just everything is going so well for the disciples up to the part the passage that we read. The thousands are getting saved. They're preaching in front of crowds. But in the beginning of chapter 4 here, we kind of see trouble brewing as the Pharisees and the Sadducees come out of the temple. And they arrest them, and they put them in hold under the next day, I guess, because eventide, they didn't have meetings there at nighttime. So they put them in hold under the next day. And I could only imagine that the Pharisees and Sadducees hear him preaching Christ, and they see this lame man being healed. And if you look with me, which verse is it? Verse number 16, it says, "What shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." I can only imagine that the Pharisees and Sadducees maybe are kind of connecting the dots, that all these prophecies are being fulfilled, that the lame are leaping, that, you know, all these prophecies, and Peter has mentioned it in all of his sermons, that the prophet Joel, the prophet David, the prophet Moses, all these prophets have prophesied all these things that are happening. And I can only imagine that the Pharisees are thinking, well, if all these prophecies are being fulfilled, then maybe Jesus was the Christ. And if he was the Christ and we crucified him, then we're in trouble. You know, the people would maybe be starting to realize this, and they need them to stop preaching Jesus because, I mean, maybe the people are understanding that they crucified the Christ. So they arrest them, and they understand that they need them to stop preaching Christ. So they bring them out in front of the council, and they're going to question them, and they ask them one simple question. Verse number 7 there, it says, "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked them, 'By what power or by what name have ye done this?'" And that was all Peter needed. And again, for the third time in the book of Acts so far, Peter just preaches to them. It doesn't matter that these are Pharisees, that they have the power to kill Peter and John just like they killed Jesus. He doesn't seem like he cares. He just preaches to them again. It says, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost," in verse number 8, "said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him did this man stand here before you whole.'" And they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and they just boldly preached to them. So I think the question that we come to tonight is that how could Peter and John boldly proclaim Christ in the face of opposition to these Pharisees, to the thousands of people that were mocking them at Pentecost, to the thousands of people gathered at the temple? How could they boldly proclaim Christ? And if you look at me in verses 18 through 20, it says, "And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, 'Whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard.'" They had two reasons. They knew that they were commanded of God to go be witnesses. Back there in Acts chapter 1, or verse number 8, they were commanded to be witnesses in Jerusalem and to all uttermost part of the earth. Just everywhere in the earth, they were commanded to be witnesses. But even if that wasn't so, verse number 20 there, it says, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." I think they just realized that the incredible things that they had seen Jesus do in their lives were so awesome, they couldn't help but tell people about it. They just couldn't help but be witnesses of Christ and Jesus to all the people that they saw. What a testimony that three times so far, and like your pastor preached this morning, there will be more to come in the book of Acts. They'll be boldly preaching Christ. And what a testimony just that every opportunity that Peter and John were given here in Acts, that they could just stand up and preach Christ to whoever was there. So the application, I think, just to us today is that God has given us the same command to go be witnesses. And I think Acts 1:8 applies to us, and the Great Commission would apply to us and to me and to everyone in here, that we're to go be witnesses unto all the world. There would be witnesses around us of God, the awesome things that God has done, and of His Son. But I think often, I know in my life, I can be like the disciples in the Gospels, and where I don't really get it. It hasn't really clicked in my mind just how awesome God is. And just the severity and the realness of the command that He's given us is to go be witnesses. You know, maybe at times I know in my life that I can get lazy and not want to go be a witness, where I can come to the place where I really don't care about people's souls. And just how sad that is. And we've been commanded to go be witnesses, and that in and of itself should be enough for us to go be witnesses, really. But even if that wasn't true, I mean, just think about it in all of our lives. Just the amazing things that God has done. I mean, Thanksgiving being just passed, I guess it would be a good time just to look back and just to think about what God has done for all of us. I mean, even just creation, the fact that God created this entire universe and an infinite galaxy upon galaxy. I mean, God did that. And we hear it so often, it can become kind of cliche to us. But, I mean, just think about how awesome God is that He did that. I mean, to think that He saved my soul when I was 16 and was just going as far away from God as I could possibly go, and that God saved me, that He sent His Son to die on the cross just for me and for all of you and for everyone on this planet. I mean, how awesome is that? I mean, how awesome is all the blessings and the miracles and the fact that we see God work every day in our lives? But I think if we really got it, if we really understood the severity of the command to go be witnesses, and we just combine that with the idea that God is awesome and He's done so much incredible things in our lives, that we combine those two ideas and realize that we need to be witnesses, that we need to tell people about Christ and tell people about the amazing things that He's done. Because God will give us opportunities when we're looking for Him. I know my dad, when he retired, he got the opportunity to speak in front of his entire corporation, or the entire place that he worked, of 600 people. And they gave him 15 minutes, apparently, just to say, you know, thank you for letting me work there. And he did that for about 15 seconds, and then he opened up a Bible and preached to them about salvation. And, I mean, he got that opportunity, and instead of just wasting it, he took it for Christ and for boldly proclaiming Christ. And there's stories like that all over, of people that, when they really got it and understood the importance of being a witness, that when God gave them the opportunity, they took it. And just like Peter, they could boldly proclaim Christ in front of however many people it was. So just the conclusion tonight, just that God has commanded us to be witnesses for Him, for His Son, just for what He's done. And just to tell people just how awesome God is and how awesome Jesus is. So I think we just need to really just take a step back and just consider just the severity of the command to be witnesses and just how awesome God is. And I know that when we combine those in our lives and really understand and let it click, that we can boldly proclaim Christ just like Peter did. Because that's what this generation needs and that's what our world needs. And, you know, I just think that I'm more than willing to show off and to run and tell people about dolphins that I see playing in the ocean. And I'm more than willing to show off an awesome YouTube video. But how often am I really willing to show off how awesome God is? And I just think that we really need to just understand just how awesome God is and just the importance of our command to be witnesses. So thank you, Pastor. Amen.
Let's stand, please. The purpose of the church is to make God known, make Christ known, the gospel known. And that's just a reminder to us tonight. But it's not desire, but it's discipline that makes us have the success in doing that. We can desire it all day long, but we have to discipline our lives and say, that's what I'm supposed to do. I am going to do it and decide to do it. And it's not just lifestyle evangelism. That is important, but we must verbalize. We have to speak up, speak out, not be ashamed. And we've seen some of the great miracles God's done in our lifetime. I've seen guys who were alcoholics turn into guys who were precious people who serve the Lord in the church. I've seen women who were basically very immoral get saved, and their whole life changed. Those are miracles of God's grace, and it's because somebody told them about Christ. So let's question our hearts tonight and take this challenge. This good challenge from the Word of God about witnessing. We've seen all of those things. They saw them. Nothing intimidated them. They just preached. They'd get up every time you punched them, they got up and preached. Peter would preach, Paul would preach, they'd preach. Wherever they went, they'd go to the synagogue, they'd preach, and they'd preach Jesus. That's who they were preaching, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads in prayer. And perhaps you're here tonight and you have not. Listen very carefully, if you would. You've never received Christ as your Savior. What Will would tell you, what I would tell you, those that are here that have been saved, is you need to be saved. God loves you. Jesus died for you. We're glad to be able to give you that message tonight. You don't have to wonder if you're going to heaven. You can know it. Nothing in the world more important than knowing that you're going on your way to heaven, no matter what happens. If you don't have that peace tonight, we invite you to come and receive Christ as your Savior. Just step out to the aisle nearest you and come forward and say, I want to receive Christ as my Savior. I want to be saved, just whatever. And then Christians, maybe God's spoken to us tonight. I'm sure He has. We all get a little lax sometimes in our witnessing. Some of us never do it. Some who do it get lax. May we come and ask God to keep us with a broken heart and with boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit to witness. It's our responsibility. We ought to be glad to tell about it. We ought to be just thrilled to tell about it. Father, bless now the invitation. Speak to our hearts. And I know you already have through your servant and your word. God, I just pray that you would help us to understand that we're the vital link between many people in heaven and hell. Help us to be faithful witnesses. Bless now this invitation. There's someone here without Christ. Oh God, I pray that your Spirit would draw them to Jesus Christ, the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, in whose name we pray and ask it. Amen.